This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And hey there, all of you political convention wonks. This is a day for listening closely, because if you listened closely last night to the convention speech of Melania Trump, you would have heard first an impassioned endorsement of her husband to be commander-in-chief from someone who knows him better than anyone else in Cleveland this week.
I have seen him fight for years to get the project done or even start it, and he does not give up.
And then you close listeners would have heard this.
From a young age, my parents impressed on me the values that you work hard for what you want in life.
Perhaps that reminded you of a speech Michelle Obama gave back in 2008.
And Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values. Like, you work hard for what you want in life.
What? Michelle Obama gave a speech about Donald Trump back in 08? Of course not. Seems that parts of the Melania speech last night were lifted from the Michelle Obama speech endorsing her husband 8 years ago. The Trump campaign leadership was asked about the apparent plagiarism. Quote, this is a statement. In writing her beautiful speech, Melania's team of writers took notes on her life's inspirations and in some instances included fragments that reflected her own thinking. Melania's immigrant experience and love for America shone through in her speech, which made it such a success. Success was not a view shared by our listener, Linda, from the very blue state of Massachusetts.
It feels like a parody. It feels like a pitiful showing of these celebrity wannabes at this convention. And I don't feel that there's any substance or quality or Trump's wife was the last straw. And it's only going to get worse.
Here are a few other reactions from people around the country who paid attention to the convention proceedings last night.
You know, the first half of the convention kind of reminded me of the part of a gangster movie where somebody is smothered by a pillow. Some gangster is smothered by a pillow. And after that, everybody's agreeable and on the same side. Well, you know, once you get past the rules fight, there's really not a lot that's going to be able to be fought about in this convention.
I was thinking maybe that this whole phenomenon of Trumpism is like almost a return of the old right, and now it's like the new right fighting the old right.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, heard reaction from around the country on a special call-in show last night. He also watched the proceedings from floor level. So as you spent the evening at the convention, what was the growing sense of this theme of American security, safety in America, that everyone seemed to hit over and over again?
Well, John, I spent a lot of time yesterday with one particular delegate who I met during the primaries. Her name is Lee Snover. She's from Easton, Pennsylvania. She owns a construction business there, longtime Republican, active in local Republican politics. This is her third convention, but her first one as a delegate. And I spent a lot of time with Lee before and after all of the divisiveness and disunity that happened on the convention floor yesterday over the rules, over Donald Trump as a nominee, and whether or not hundreds, if not up to 1,000 delegates, can actually back Donald Trump. Here's what Lee Snover, who is a dedicated Trump delegate, had to say about those folks.
But you know what I think? I think the last night of this convention, when the curtain closes, the lights go out, and it locks up, they better be on board. If they're not on board, I think Donald Trump is going to run against them the same as he is a Democrat establishment. I think he's going to lump them as all establishment, and he's going to turn the whole thing around. I think he's going to say, these guys that aren't on board, they're establishment, and he's going to run against them. It's almost like Noah's Ark. If they don't get on and it closes, they're in trouble.
What does she make of the delegate challenges that seem to simmer on the floor there in the beginning?
Well, you know, Lee Snover, of course, doesn't support them. But here's one thing that's really interesting. She and all of her Pennsylvania colleagues have been targets because Lee Snover from Pennsylvania is an unbound delegate by rule. She's dedicated to Donald Trump. She's not gettable. But, John, she told me that she's gotten dozens of texts and calls, even handwritten letters in the mail in the weeks in the run-up to the convention, asking her to be flexible, asking her to abandon Donald Trump.
Snover is a construction contractor. She runs a construction business in Easton, Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, she does. And John, this is one of the things that Lee seems to like best about Donald Trump, their shared experience in the construction business. She says that it helps her really get him and really get what his worldview is all about. He knows how to build things, and so does she. And one of the things we talked about was how Trump can win. when he's doing so poorly with Latino voters all across the country, lately polling with about 14% positive ratings from Latino voters. And Lee says that she sees a far different intention behind Donald Trump's words when he says he's going to deport 12 million illegal immigrants. She says it's code. She doesn't really buy it.
People that know Donald Trump know, people that work in the industry that he's been involved in for years, he uses Latino labor on all of his sites. We know, you know, it's almost in code he's talking. We know exactly what he's saying. If you're not producing, you're going. If you're producing, you're staying. And we all believe that.
Well, John, if Lee gets it so well and she gets the code, I'm not sure that everybody who works for her necessarily does. And she told me a story of what happened on her job site recently when she broke out a pro-Trump sign and sort of inadvertently drove across a job site with it. Everybody saw the sign and they reacted.
It's very mixed on the job site. I don't know if it was in fear or concern that Trump might win. I think they were thinking, wow, even right here on this job site, there's Trump supporters. They know we're working. Why do they support Trump? Do they not want us here anymore? I think that's what they were thinking.
You think they're intimidated?
No, I don't think they're intimidated. I think they're thinking, how could she be working in this industry and support Donald Trump knowing that he may deport us? But I don't believe he will. I believe if they're working and producing and living right and not criminals, they're not going anywhere.
Well, party unity or even the appearance of it was hard to come by on the first day of the convention, as you just heard. Even the opportunity for a unifying moment from Melania Trump was marred by accusations of plagiarism in her speech. So another attempt today, as Republicans talk about the theme Making America Work Again, family members of Donald Trump, including Tiffany Trump and Donald Trump Jr., are scheduled to speak, as well as a number of leading Republican figures. Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, who at the last minute was still a potential VP pick for Donald Trump, is scheduled to speak. But so are several members of Congress. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy was for Donald Trump almost immediately. He's speaking tonight. But so is Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who when he came out on the stage for ceremonial purposes on the first day, was booed by several members of the crowd here. House Speaker Paul Ryan is also speaking, and Paul Ryan has walked a very, very delicate line with Donald Trump, endorsing his candidacy, but 5 or even 6 times taking to microphones to rebuke and criticize Donald Trump for various controversial things that he has said. And Paul Ryan, for his own part, needs to try to defend the Republican majority in the House no matter what happens at the top of the ticket.
Let's take you on a little tour of the convention yesterday with Todd as he journeyed from the floor to the stage and back and got a real sense of that disunity that needs to become unity by the end of the week.
This convention will come to order.
Well, you just heard it, the procedural intonations from RNC Chairman Reince Priebus there, gaveling in the Republican National Convention. When the day started, it did look like any other made-for-TV political gathering. Right outside the Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, the Texas delegation in their traditional cowboy hats and Lone Star shirts, the Montana delegates in their denim vests, people are buying fattening food and drinking and getting ready to enjoy 4 days of parties and mixers and also speeches.
The best governors, the best leaders are those who get out of the government bubble and see what's really happening.
Inside, Cleveland looks like any other convention. Crowded concourses, the bad food again, long lines, and a convention floor immaculately constructed for rendering in high-def TV. So the Republican convention in Cleveland starts off just like every other convention, until it's not.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman! Point of order!
For months, different forces inside the GOP have been trying to derail Donald Trump's coronation this week. They've maneuvered in rules committees, they've tried to convince delegates to flip, they've even gone to court. None of it's worked. There were rumors that another move was afoot to get enough delegate signatures to force the convention to hold a roll call vote on adopting the rules. The point here, to have a vote, a real vote, and not just a rubber stamp gavel from the podium. And they were only rumors till I ran into former New Hampshire Senator Gordon Humphrey, who was roaming the floor with a list in his hands and not making any secret that he'd like a little press attention.
This is the highest plenary body of the Republican Party. It is not an adjunct of the RNC. It is superior to the RNC. They work for us, not vice versa. And neither is it a meeting of the Supreme Soviet. Delegates are the highest governing authority. They have the authority to make any rules they wish. They could require us to wear prison stripes if they chose to do so. And it's beginning to feel around here like that might not be a bad idea, because delegates are very much in danger of being shorn of their rights.
It was on. Humphrey took a few of us with him as he hunted for the secretary of the convention so he could formally submit those signatures he was carrying around. But she wasn't at her desk. In fact, she wasn't anywhere to be found.
Well, this is very interesting. We are required by Rule 39 to present these petitions to the secretary. The secretary is in the back room somewhere, not available to do business under Rule 39, and we have a time limit. So you can see that conventions sometimes are not well run, and just possibly sometimes there are dirty tricks that are played. I'm not sure which this is.
Eventually, a qualified representative of the secretary was found. The signatures were submitted, and while speech after speech on the dais talked about Republican values and Republican unity, the delegates wait. What will the captains of the convention do?
I'm on the Trump Finance Committee. It's not about Donald Trump. The problem is, he might have been in on it a little bit, and if he was, you know, that's the way it goes. It's politics. You know, it's a blood sport, contact sport, right? But in the end, to not let people discuss this and to squash any debate to make it look like there's unity, all they did is made a power keg out of it. That's all. See, that's what they always do. They want to. It's a pep rally. At the end of the day, they've weakened the power of the delegates, and they've centralized more power in Republican Party headquarters with the chairman.
Finally, the rules package comes up on the floor. Humphrey and hundreds of other delegates, they say up to 1,000, wait for their moment.
The chair has found insufficient support for the request for a record vote.
Some delegates don't want Donald Trump. Some want the GOP to simply give more voice to what's supposed to be a voting process. Some want new rules for how the primaries are run in 2020. It doesn't matter. The vote never happened. And now the question for people like anti-Trump Republican Utah Senator Mike Lee is next moves. Will delegates who got shut out continue to try to disrupt the made-for-TV Donald Trump convention?
They've been calling for unity. They've been saying, we need unity, we need unity. It's great, but it's not really unity when you don't have unity. In the absence of unity, a call for unity is a call for something rather unlike unity. In fact, it's coercion masquerading as unity.
The truth about these Republican and Democratic political infomercials is they tend to be the same year after year. So far, this one isn't.
Adventures from Cleveland all this week from Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.